Good evening. It's good to be back in God's house. Amen. I'd like to say, first of all, thank you, Mount Lebanon, for the invitation, Brother Jason. It's always an honor to be at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church and preach the Word of God. And I'd like to say it's been good. If we stopped right now, we can say it's been good. Amen. Brother Jeremy and Brother Daniel, they preached their heart out, and I don't know if it helped you, but it helped me. Yes. Brother Daniel, I appreciate that. Psalm 142 and 143 really touched my heart, challenged me. Amen. Brother Jeremy last night, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, how he expanded that really blessed my heart as well. Amen. And it just helped me, amen. Us preachers, we get dry too.
Right.
Y'all with me tonight?
Yeah.
And you know the routine. You all have heard me before. The more you get in it, the faster we'll go home. Amen. I don't have to work tomorrow, so I can sleep late.
Yeah.
Amen. But, no, it's us preachers, we get a little dry, too. We need revival.
Yes.
We need to be challenged in God's Word.
Yeah.
And the devil loves to tear us down and keep us beat up. And these messages have helped me. And so, church, I appreciate you. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I pray that this message will touch your heart tonight. I've run the dogs off two or three times today, studying and praying, and got filled up a couple times, Brother Daniel. And I know it's going to be pretty good when my dog run got back in the house. I said, hallelujah, it's a Baptist dog. But it is a joy to be here. If you have your Bibles tonight, open them to the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua, chapter number 24. Very familiar scripture. And I'm not going to ask you to stand because I'm going to read 28 verses. Joshua, chapter number 24. Y'all pray for me tonight. Find your place, say amen.
Amen.
Bible says, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it, but Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and that ye might possess the land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan, and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that are on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statue and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words that the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. Father, tonight, God, as we come again to the throne of grace, God, we're thankful. Thankful, Lord, that you've allowed us to come this way and have a small part in this revival at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. God, what a joy it's been this week thus far. But tonight, God's a new night. And Father, I pray tonight, God, that you'd help me. Lord, as I stand behind this sacred desk, I pray tonight, God, for clarity of mind. Lord, I pray for looseness of tongue. Lord, I pray, God, for great discernment. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help me to say nothing that would dishonor you. And Lord, I pray for a backbone like a saw log to say everything I need to say here tonight. And Father, I pray, send revival among your people. God, you know the hearts of every soul here tonight. And God, I do pray, as I always do, help us all to leave better than we've come. For Father, it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. These were exciting times for the nation of Israel. They had defeated their enemies and they had claimed the promised land. Each of the tribes here had received their inheritance, and now they can settle down and start to enjoy life a little bit. It was a time of hope. It was a time of prosperity. It was a time of blessing. But also, as I looked at this, I noticed it was a dangerous time, Brother Jason. There was danger that they would forget where they came from,
right,
how they got where they were, and what the Lord had done for them. There was a danger that they would begin to adopt the idolatrous little gods that floated around through the region, if you will. The Canaanites, they still lived there among them, and there was a danger that they would follow those gods of these other nations. There was a danger of complacency, that they'd fall into a complacent state, and they might just let their guard down a little bit if they got complacent. These were dangerous times for the nation of Israel. And in the midst of this situation, Joshua, here he stands up to deliver the people a challenge from the Lord. God wants them to dedicate themselves to him and to the work for him. And he doesn't want them to live for him on one hand and live for the other gods of Canaan on the other hand. Are you with me tonight? I mean, he wants wholehearted dedication out of the children of Israel. And that's clear as I read this over and over, that God is looking for a clear dedication, wholehearted dedication from the people. But I begin to think about this, and I want to remind you tonight that this is dangerous times in which we live for the church. Amen. We're seeing today in which we live, the church is developing an appearance that is more and more like the church of the Laodicean church age. You go over to the book of Revelation and you look at chapter number 3 and you start reading about the church of Laodicea. You'll find out that God knew all about it. Amen. God knew how he said, I know thy works. He said, I know that you're neither hot and you're not cold. And I'm just paraphrasing. I'm giving you tester version. Amen.
Amen.
He said, you're not hot, you're not cold. He said, you make me sick.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Church, that's the age in which we live right now.
Yes.
And why is that? It's because our churches have become complacent.
Right.
Our churches got so used on what they used to be.
They
thought that those foundations, it was done. Our churches was full.
Right.
I'm running well right here. Our churches was full, and we don't need to do nothing else. We don't need to stand guard.
Right, right.
We don't need to wave that blood-stained banner. We are who we are.
Yeah.
And we've lost touch with God.
Yeah.
We've lost the presence of God. We've lost the power of God, all because we've got complacent.
Right. Amen.
The nation of Israel did it over and over and over again. God would move and he would bless and their lives and bring them out of trouble time and time again. But they always got complacent in that time. And they always went right back into that same situation. Church, I'm trying to help you tonight. I mean, the church today in which we live, it has everything it needs. Except, as I said, the presence and the power of God. I mean, just as the Lord issued this call through Joshua all those centuries ago, I believe tonight that he's calling on his people to make their minds up of who they're going to serve.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I want to preach on a simple thought tonight, and I'm probably going to get scolded on the way home. But I want to preach on the thought, ain't it about time to decide?
Yeah. Amen.
Ain't it about time to decide who you're going to serve? Amen. First of all, let me give you 3 points tonight. First of all, in verses 1 through 13, I'm not going to go back and reread these. You can do that on your own. But it was a time of contemplation. You see, Joshua begins to make his remarks by calling them to remember, to contemplate the situation. He wants them to remember who they are, where they came from, what the Lord had done for them. And can I say tonight, church, it would do some of you well to stop and think about what God has done for you, what he's brought you through, where he's taken you to, amen? You and I have not arrived yet. We're not on the other side yet. We're still here, and it's God that's in control. It's God that's leading our steps to this world. And we need to stop and think about what God has done for us. When I think about it, I think about there in verses 1 through 12, Joshua was challenging them to contemplate God's power in their lives. They're reminded about God's choice and call on Israel, how he had redeemed them and he had brought them from Egypt, and how he had manifested his power and his glory on their behalf time and time again. I mean, they're reminded throughout those verses of the victories that God fought and won on their behalf. Are you with me tonight? I mean, I'd like to say right there, you and I need to contemplate what the Lord's done for us. I mean, do any of you remember where he found you?
Yeah. Amen.
You didn't find Jesus. Anybody tells you they found Jesus is lying.
Yeah.
The Bible said he came to seek and save that which was lost.
Amen.
Amen.
I remember when he found me.
Yeah.
You all have heard it before. But anyway, I was sitting right here. In 1979, Brother Dale, Barney Arnett was sitting right here. My grandpa was sitting right there. Brother Fred Potter was preaching, and Brother Carl Wilson was running all over this place.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
And God touched my heart, and right there, amen, is where I got saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Right here, in this very spot on the floor, is where God found me. This is where God saved me. This is where God gave me my beginning. And I ain't got over it yet, Brother Daniel.
Amen.
Amen. I think about it often, amen. And I wish that I could go back in my life and change a few things, but that's not what I.
That's right.
Amen.
I think of it when the devil tries to drag me down and beat me up. I remember what he's done for me, where he found me, and how he's blessed me. I mean, are any of you blessed?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I mean, I'm blessed beyond anything. I wasn't blessed with hair. Amen.
Yeah.
I wasn't blessed with hair. I went today. I'll go ahead and tell you this, so some of you will look stuff. I ain't had it. Amen. I went today. I paid $25 for hair. You talk about rip off. Amen. But listen to me, church. God's been good, better to us than any of us deserve.
Right.
He woke you up this morning.
Right.
He woke you up. He gave you strength to get up and get out of the house. He gave you health to come through the day. He
right.
gave you the ability to get here tonight. God's been good, amen. How many of you eating a little bit of something today?
Amen.
I mean, God's fed you. God's give you stuff. I mean, you and I don't deserve nothing tonight. But God's been good to us. He wanted Joshua urged them to contemplate God's power in their lives. I mean, again, he wanted them to contemplate God's presence in their lives. Israel is reminded that God has ever been with them.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
They ain't done what they've done on their own. It's because of the presence of God that's been there and helped them in everything they faced. He was there to help them and to see them through. You and I need to remember tonight that since the day we were saved, God has never left us nor forsaken us. Amen. Now go over and read Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. Go back and read Matthew 28 and verse number 20, where he said, "Lo, I'm with you always." I mean, the Lord's with us. Amen. And anything that's between you and God is closer to God than you are. God wants that fellowship. He wants that hand-in-hand relationship. He wants it with everybody that makes up the church.
Right.
And Joshua's saying, remember these things. Remember the power that in their lives. Remember God's presence in their lives. Contemplate God's provision in their lives. In verse number 13, and he says, and I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, and the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. God said, I've been good to you.
Amen.
I mean, they're reminded of how they've enjoyed the blessings they don't deserve. Church, is that not us tonight? I mean, he's gave you a wonderful church. Amen. He's with a great heritage. But it was God that did it.
Right.
It was God that built it.
Right.
It was God that has sustained it.
Right.
And without God, you won't have it or enjoy it.
Right.
Are you with me tonight?
Yes, amen. Right.
I mean, God, he provides for us. I mean, we've got a whole lot tonight that we just simply don't deserve. Amen. We just don't deserve it. I mean, we're saved. We're secure. We didn't deserve salvation.
Right.
How many of you here was good enough to get saved? Not a one of us. If we'd all get what we deserve, we'd be in hell with our back broke tonight. I don't deserve it, but God loved me enough that he sent his only begotten son to die for me at Calvary. He rose again on that third and glorious day, and he saved me. Amen. 1979. I don't deserve it. I mean, I'm glad tonight, as Brother Jason's already said, I'm secure. Amen. I'm glad hell will not be my home. Amen. I'm glad I've got a place. I don't have a little cabin. I've got a mansion in heaven waiting for me one day. I've got a sweet, dear little mama. Deserve it. We didn't earn it. God gave it to those that would receive it.
Amen.
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 I wonder tonight, though, in these few things that I've mentioned right here, I wonder how many of God's children seem to have a hard time of just loving him like they should. I wonder how many of our churches have lost sight of how good he's been to us, and we just ain't loving him like we should. I mean, every one of us in this church tonight ought to have a shout on our voice.
Amen.
Amen. Just because God saved you is enough to shout for eternity.
Amen.
If you can't shout here, you're going to have a hard time shouting there. Amen. You see, Israel was guilty of walking out of God, on God. Wasn't you? But I wonder how many of us Christians have done it. How many of us Christians have walked out on God time and time again? How many of our churches have walked out on God all because, hey, I don't like old time religion. I don't like old time preaching. I don't like how loud that little bald headed preacher is. See how many Baptists makes it to the church. It's a time of confrontation. Verses 14 and 15, the Bible said, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. It's a time of confrontation. I don't know about you, but I'm not real big on confrontation. Amen. But Joshua, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, pushing him to call a time of confrontation with the people. You see, they were confronted, first of all, by a command. Joshua's command was threefold, basically. They were commanded to fear God, clean up their lives, but put away the other little g gods that they were following. They were to serve the Lord. They were to put them in a position to where God was in the forefront of their life. You see, when you break it down, I mean, they were to fear the Lord. That is to reverence Him. To reverence Him and honor Him for who He is. He deserves to be respected, church. He deserves to be respected. He's not that long-haired hippie that Jesus that they portray down at Walmart. Amen. God is holy, He's righteous, He's just.
Right.
And we ought to reverence Him as much.
Amen.
But we're too busy today. Well, we just need to come as we are, live as we were. Amen. We don't want to walk with God from Monday through Saturday. We come to church on Sunday morning.
Right.
We'll sit in our pew. We'll nod our head. Where's the reverence of God today? hurts him. Does this make any sense? We need to fear the Lord. Put away other gods. I'm talking about all those things that in our lives that come ahead of the Lord need to be put away forever.
Right. Amen.
Need to be put away forever. I mean, Brother Raymond, whether we any of us here tonight will admit it or not, there are some things between us and God. Amen. And some of you mamas and daddies are going to get mad at me, and that's okay. I can deny I'm leaving. But when travel ball season comes around, and the baseball diamond or the basketball court takes your children and you out of church, that has become your God.
You're right.
Amen.
Amen.
That has become your God. And as I said earlier, anything that is closer to God than you are is your God.
Yes. Right.
And every one of us has got something.
Right.
Something that draws us, that wants us to stay away from God.
Right.
I've got a few. Amen. The couch is one of them. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty comfortable. Self gets in between God and me and God.
Yeah.
Self gets in between me and God from time to time. My pride. Amen.
You're right.
I mean, it don't take much anymore. I'm a preacher. I've been doing this now 25 years. And brothers, it ain't getting no easier. When the honeymoon is over, when the honeymoon is over and the rubber begins to meet the road and people start getting a little bit disgruntled, one of the ways they take it out on preachers is they start staying home.
You're right.
Amen. And how discouraging that is to the preacher. That's just, I don't know about you guys, you all work smarter than I am, but it takes me about 20 hours per message to study and pray and try to get what it, I need to give to God and to the church. And I've missed a lot of ball games with my young. I've missed a lot of time with my wife and a lot of vacations to go help a bunch of mean-spirited people. Amen. And it hurts. And then on Sunday mornings, you know, when you roll out of bed, you know, and you get to thinking about it, the devil steps in and you say, "Are you sure you want to go to God? You know they won't like it. You know they're just putting up with you." Brothers, I resigned 75 times on the way here tonight. Sunday morning, I slapped the clock in the floor. Why is that? I didn't want to go. I needed this to do. I needed this.
Amen. Amen.
I remember what Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve."
Yeah. Amen.
I had to make my mind up because I'm doing this for God.
Yes.
It's all about him. It ain't about me.
Right.
Always has been, always will be. They didn't like him. They didn't like the disciples. They didn't like none of the prophets. They ain't like no preachers ever since. Why am I any different?
Amen.
I have a pity party now. Would you help me, Brother Finn, pat me on back for the head? Bless me. Telling you tonight, church, the devil is doing his best to put things between you and God. And us preachers, a lot of times it's the little things. It might not be money. Amen? It might not be the big church that we're eyeing. It's self that's getting in the way. Amen? We want all these things, but what we ought to want in the end is to serve God. I mean, they were confronted by a choice. I've got to move on. Joshua challenged the people to choose who they would serve, and not only choose, but get about it. Get busy doing it. Church, There's too much lip service today. There's too much lip service going on. And I believe for us tonight, it's about time that some of us and some of the church get off the fence and choose whether you're going to serve God or you're going to serve the world. You can't do both. You need to make your mind up, amen? I mean, friend, listen to me. You can't have him and these distractions of the world. You need him. Either he's first place or you've got a different God. I mean, the question that comes to my mind is, why would anyone think evil to serve the Lord? I mean, church, it's an honor and a privilege just to be here tonight in his presence. This is his house. He's confronted by a choice. Again, in verse 15, they're confronted by a challenge. Joshua here set the example. He laid down the gauntlet, if you will, for the rest of the people by stating his clear intention of serving the Lord. What did Joshua say? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What about you tonight? Where does this find you at tonight, church? I mean, we need some Joshuas in our day. We need some Joshuas, that men and women who will settle it in their hearts that Jesus and his word, there's nothing going to come between the word and him and you.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, how about you corporately? Are you going to choose this night that nothing is going to come between you and your service and worship to God and fulfilling the great commission that God has given this church?
Amen.
Are you going to do that? See, we need some who sets the examples for others. These young people tonight. How many young people we got here tonight? Say you're under 20 years old. Stand up if you would. 1, 2, 3. Looky there. Now, church, take a look-see. Take a look-see at this. You're to be the example to them.
Right.
And if you ain't serving God, if you ain't chose this, you can sit down. Thank you, youngs. If you ain't chose who you're going to serve and you ain't dedicated to it, don't you say a word to them about it.
That's right.
Amen. Don't you get on to them because they want to stay at home and watch a gun smoke.
Yeah.
Amen. Older ones that were here that remember my grandpa never would get up here.
Am I right? Somebody help me right here that's back there. My grandpa would never set foot in this pulpit. He said it's holy ground. He'd stand right here with his Bible at his chest. He's one of the men that set an example for me. I learned it right here in church. But you've got another generation that's coming up, and they need to learn it. They need to see it. They need the example set before them. They need some Joshuas. Choose you this day. Who you will serve.
Amen. Amen.
Don't play games with them. If it's a numbers game to you, tell them. If all you're worried about is numbers, tell them that they ain't nothing but a number to this church. But if you're serious about getting them on board and seeing their soul saved and discipling them up into the ways of the Lord, then put a little effort into it.
Amen? Does this make sense? Brother Daniel, help me. Amen. After tonight, I mean, you can go. Third, and I'm done. Verses 16 through 28, and I'm not going to read them, but it's a time of consecration. I'm trying to be mindful, church. You pray. There was a resolve of the people. The people considered all that the Lord had done for them. And they declare together in unison. They declare their allegiance to Him alone. And they seem almost incredulous, if you will, when offered the opportunity to serve other gods. I mean, listen. This evening, is the Lord your choice tonight? Is He your choice? I mean, if He's got to compete for your time, your attention, your money, your love, whatever it calls you, your work, profession, whatever it is. If you have to rank God tonight, where would He fall on the scale?
Right.
Is He first in your life? Now, be careful how you answer that, because He knows.
Right.
He already knows where He ranks in your life. There's a reminder to the people. Joshua here takes the opportunity to remind the people of God's holiness and righteousness again. If they serve Him, He'll bless them. I'm trying to hurry. But now if they renege on it, on their end of the agreement, there's going to be a high price to pay. In church, I believe that's where we're at tonight. I believe the church tonight is paying a high price because we've walked away from God. Maybe not so much intentionally, but as it's been said here this week, all it starts with is a little bit. A little bit here, a little bit there. You drop this standard, and it ain't long till another standard will fall out. And it ain't long till God's pushed to the side, and suddenly God's not as important to the church, but what is important is the offering plates, the numbers, the GQ preacher. Amen. This world for the souls of those that are lost. I mean, we can't save them, but Lord, we can tell them about the one that can. And the churches have lost sight of this today. And we've got away from God, and it breaks my heart. 4.5 years.
spent traveling the roads, preached from the Mississippi to the coast, over 300 different churches. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart of the churches that have walked away from God and have found themselves in a position that nobody wants to take them because they're so worldly that it looks just like going to a ball game.
Last point, there's a reaction of the people. The people responded by setting the business of serving the Lord, if you will, in verses 24 through 28. I mean, they and Joshua, they set up a memorial as a record of their decision that they're going to serve the Lord. And I believe that it was a daily reminder of the vow that they made to God.
Amen.
And church, can I tell you tonight that God takes vows seriously?
He does, amen.
How many of you have ever made a vow to God and didn't keep it? I told you I was saved in 1979. And I don't know if you all believe in backsliding or not. But I did. Brother Daniel got hooked on this. And I began to drink. And every time I do it, I was under great condition. I left my wife and my son when we brought him home. Alcohol and drugs was more important to me. Brother Daniel, I was under so much conviction. I thought a Bible at home. I don't even preach out of it. Bible that I sit up at night, high as a kite, and I'd go through it, and I could hear my grandpa preaching. I could see my grandpa up here roping at Sunday school and reading the Bible. And these verses kept coming in my head, and I'd go through that Bible, and I'd mark them. I'd mark them pages, Brother Ray. My heart beating out of my chest, knowing that I was turning my back on God, that this demon out of hell had took over. My wife begging me to go to church. I tell her, no, not today. On the way home, she called and tell me she's on the way home. I said, well, stop by 6 pack of beer, the race is coming on. Maybe it ain't God. Maybe it's us. Maybe it's because we're not as committed as we one time were. Sisters, if y'all come to the piano and so forth, we're going to close. But Joshua issued a challenge. And my question to you now, ain't it time you make a decision? Corporately as a church, individually as a child of God, you need to determine tonight where you stand with him and where he stands with you. You stand just a minute, head bowed and eyes closed. Father, God, tonight, you know the hearts.